Blog Talk Radio.
Once upon a time, there was a new crossover that refused to play by the rules. It flipped the script and made all the others look like... Once upon a time, there was a new crossover that refused to play by the rules. It flipped the script and made all the others look like fools. Featuring styling that's sexier by far and handled like a rock.
Amen, amen, hallelujah, hallelujah. You are...
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You right, bro. That's what we got to do. But you have just tuned into Purpose Kingdom Network, and you are listening to the Round Table Ministries. Amen. My name is Elder Charles Lee.
And I'm Brother Robert Pop-Pop Hudson.
How you doing this evening, Brother Pop-Pop?
Oh, I'm doing excellent. I can't complain at all. You know, Elder Lee, you know, sometimes, you know, it seems like when we start in the morning, you had the 12 tasks of Hercules. Well, let me tell you, you know, mine became, you know, 24 all of a sudden, you know, because I remember going to sleep between last night and waking up this morning and, you know, going about, you know, my business. But, you know,
right.
One thing I know and how I know that, you know, how he, you know, things are successful, they say, you know, the devil working around the clock. Now, I'm going to tell you, while I was, you know, facing things and doing things, and I was saying, you know, oh, bless God for letting me, oh, get this done. Oh, you know, thank God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Ooh, what? I got up on time. I'm able to get to work on time. Woo.
Right.
Amen. God is good all the time. You know.
All the time.
So pretty much I was able to work around the clock, you know, and so that let me know that, you know, it's true. If I can work around the clock, the devil can work around the clock. So, you know, we got to be mindful of that.
That's right. You know, here on this job,
while we think we need rest or whatever, you know, he can be working through us, you know, while we sleep. You know, just how I was, you know, able to work just about around the clock, you know, and get things done because I needed extra time. You know, he can do the same thing in the opposite direction. You know, so, you know, don't forget, you know, how you do things and what you do. You know, don't forget, you know, he can strike through the same methods and the same, you know, with the same methods you use. You just got to be mindful.
Amen. And that's why, you know, we talked about that, about always telling people about your dreams and desires, because everybody don't pray with you. Some people pray against you.
Uh-huh.
Amen. And they'll put a bad word on you. And see, that brings us up to our title for today. You got, you know, you're running your mouth to people and you're letting them know everything that's going on in your life. And before you know it, you got all these false accusations going out about you, so that falls right in line with our title today. And our title today is, Whose Report Will You Believe? Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And that, you know, when God was talking to me and Brother Robert about that, it came in so many different avenues, you know, because whose report will you believe? It says so much just by if you listen to the title of it. You know, because
yes.
We get so much stuff going on out here about us today, Brother Rob. And you can just let me know about the day, anything that really came at you today that made you think about this title.
Oh, yeah, let me tell you. I mean, today, you know, I'm going to tell you, we're you know, working on a little sleep. I'm gonna tell you, I wasn't, and the thing that I was upset about was that I wasn't the most pleasant person to work with,
right?
You know, and I wasn't the most pleasant person to be at home. But my thing was that the response I got was, "Oh wow, I didn't know he was like that." You know, he's like, "Wow, you know, he scared me." He's like, "You know,
uh-huh.
He was like, you know, get out of my way. You're just in my way. You're not helping me." I was like, "He's like, well, you know what?" I got out of his way. So as I start hearing
right.
people talking, I was like, you know, most of the times, you know, when I'm working, I put on, you know, a smile. I give my most pleasant answer to, you know, whatever they're saying, because I try to make sure that I'm a good, you know, co-worker. I try to make sure that, you know, through the blessing of the Lord, you know, that I am, you know, I'm not going to let an inkling of the devil squeeze through. But,
that's
you know,
right.
But today, you know, like I said, I didn't show my best today. But, you know, for some reason, they seem kind of impressed. And I said, you know what? That's the devil at work. You know, and the double at work was when, you know, like I said, I asked a couple guys. I said, hey, listen, you know, we work through lunch. It's 2 o'clock. I've been here. I work, you know, I've been on a little rest. And I said, you know what, I'm going to sleep, you know, for the half hour of lunch. And I said, somebody, you know, wake me up when lunch is over. Well, I got woke up when the whole shift was over.
What?
Yeah. So, you know, what I said is me being, you know, the person, you know, that I am, I went into, you know, the office. Cause I know sometimes they're not aware of things that's going on. I let them know. I said, hey, listen, at lunchtime, I went to lunch late at 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to take a little nap. And, you know, what happened was, you know, when it's time for, you know, I asked somebody to wake me up after lunch. But what happened is, this is what I'm letting you know, is that I did not go back to work. I've been asleep the whole time. And so when you see that punch in, you know, can you make the adjustments?
Right.
You know, and the guy said, oh, thanks. He's like, oh, I didn't even know. You know, I don't know if he was just saying that to be, you know, smart. But, you know, my thing is, if somebody considers something stealing, you know, to them it's stealing. If you know,
right.
if someone, you know, they lay down, you know, a piece of bread on the table and it seems like they don't want it, but you, without you asking and you taking it, to them they could be stealing. It's like one definition to another. You know, you have to respect what someone feels. And the best way I can relate to you and tell you, like say what, you know, what our wives would say. Like if my wife would say to me, I think if you, you know, if you look at another woman that's cheating and you explain to her, say, hey, I'm just looking at the woman. And if she says to me that's cheating, you have to accept that that's the way she views it. And so anytime if you look at another, you know, believe it or not, if you can't come into agreement by looking at another woman, that is cheating. So you have to understand, you know, if you can't meet the viewpoints of what someone else feels, you can't assume by saying, hey, you know what, let's take a democratic vote and say, do you think it's cheating? Do you think it's cheating? And if you get more yeses or more nos, that don't mean either one of you are right or wrong. You have to respect the person's feelings.
Yeah, and see, I like the example that you used today because, like I said, everything that we do can fall into our topic. Whose report will you believe? See, by you oversleeping today, right, and by you being a man of your word and a man of God, you wanted to straighten this thing out. So you went to your boss and you let them know that you overslept. So if you look and see this extra time on there, I need you to correct this. So see, by you doing that, what I seen in that was you stopped the false report going out. Okay, because one of your coworkers might have said, well, you know, yeah, well, you know, he didn't come tell you about them extra minutes that he was sleeping, but he was sleeping. He wasn't working, you know. But see, you went ahead of that false report and you stopped it. So you gave the good report before the false one came out. So like it says again, whose report will you believe? So, see, you went and gave your report an acknowledgement of it to let them know, no, you know, I don't want this time because I wasn't working during this time. I was asleep.
Amen.
So, see, that made you a man of your word. And, see, you know, God tells us, you know, as far as lying is a sin anyway, you know, and you wasn't going to take that lying down by, you know, what was you going to gain by getting them a few minutes anyway?
That's right.
You know, so, I mean, it was really nothing behind it. But, see, I like, you know, I got a verse here, and I like the way that it says it. It comes out of Matthew. Matthew 12 and 37 out of the King James Version. And it says as such, for by the words that thou be justified, and by the words thou shalt be condemned. So, see, you justified yourself. You know, and see, that's a man of stature. And, you know, in a value, you justified yourself by letting them know, no, wait a minute, you know, I can't take that, you know, and I want you guys to know, because, see, like I said, believe me, if you didn't do it, it was something coming behind it, okay?
Right.
It was something coming behind it that was going to be derogatory, you know, because the one thing I learned on jobs, you know, everybody is not no saints, and everybody is not for you. You know, so the same ones that you seen that let you sleep might have been the same ones that got out there and cut your throat.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So I mean, it's a blessing that you came at it the way you did. You know, and I do the same thing on my job. Sometimes they make me stay late, and people get mad at me because they say, well, they owe you 15 minutes, and they owe you this. And sometimes, Rob, I just walk out. I'm glad to leave.
Right.
Because we have long nights there, you know. And sometimes 15 minutes don't really make no difference to me. It's not going to kill me. It's not going to make or break me. But the thing is so many people are so involved, and they're dealing with this time thing, you know. But like I said, who report are you going to believe? You know, and I got another example here from you. It says, you know, and it tells us that our life is a product of words. You know, and a lot of people tell you sometimes, you know, it's not what you say, it's how you say it.
Okay.
Because I could say one thing to you one way and say it to another way, and it means a whole different meaning just by the fluctuation of my voice. Like, you know, say our wives, you know, like you put our wives, and let's take our wives for example. Say your wife is ready to leave out the door, and you may look at her and say, where are you going?
Mm-hmm.
Low fluctuation in your voice. But you can look at that same person, and they're going out the door and say, where are you going? That has a whole different meaning. Same words, but it has a whole different meaning because of the way I said it. So, you know, people have to watch what they say and how they say it. You know, because some people can get you with looks. But just like Matthew 12 and 37 says, for our words we are justified, and for our words we shall be condemned. You know, so, I mean, it would be in our best interest, too, if we're not one of those false reporters.
Amen.
You know what I mean? I know you have a lot of them on your job. Some people that don't like your position, might not like my position, you know, and whatever situation came up and happened, they twist it, you know. So it could look like I didn't know what I was doing, or I didn't have no business doing what I was doing, you know. So I learned years ago to not be a false reporter, because a lot of time that come back to smack you in the face. Especially on my job, because you can't give a lot of false reports because they got cameras, Rob.
That's right.
So if you don't come out clean with it, all they got to do is they say, run the tape. You know, especially, you know, I work at, you know, I'm down at these guys, a lot of them, they get to a point to where we call it, if something happens, they'll tell you, I need a memo.
Okay, right.
Of the thing that happened, I need a memo. So just like you, a lot of times when they tell me about a memo, I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. And see, I tell a lot of people the way they get in trouble, Rob, especially when you're describing a situation, is you can't be in the whole situation. You're either in the middle, you're at the beginning, or you're at the end.
That's
some
right.
People write a memo, and the whole memo, they tell everything that happened, and they was through the whole thing. You can't be through the whole thing. You either
That's
was
right.
there, you either came up, or you was just coming up. You know,
right.
We had an incident where something had happened, bruh. And they asked me to write a memo. My memo was like 2-3 lines long. And they said, well, what happened? I said, read the memo.
Right.
They said, well, this all I said. Well, that's all I seen. And
right.
I mean, it wasn't a lot. you know
right.
what I'm saying? They was trying to make you say something else. So, see, some people will try to get you to make a false report, too. You know? To make it seem like a lot of times I see they want to direct the responsibility to somebody else. So see, the way your report sounds, it may clear you, but it may incriminate somebody else. But
right.
see, if I just put what I saw, I can't put down what Brother Rob saw.
That's right.
But it's just, you know, like I say, it's another thing here. Even it says, remember when Adam decided to act on the serpent's words in the Garden of Eden, he became a slave to Satan.
Yes,
Adam lost his fellowship with God and had to live a life of hard labor, and ultimately death permanently. Because who report do you believe in? You know, Satan is coming up to him saying, well, you know, you ain't got to do this, and, you know, don't worry about this. And, you know, he's saying this because he don't want you to know about this. And they're doing that same thing today, bro.
That's so true.
You reading God's word right here in front of your face, but somebody else is telling you that it's not true, and they try to get you to, what's the word the young people use? They try to get you to tweak it.
Right.
And I've gotten to a point now to where, you know, God's word is God's word. People say God's word has a lot of different meanings. No, it don't. Just say you didn't understand it, you didn't get the meaning of it. It doesn't have a lot
Amen.
Of different meanings.
That's
a lot
right.
of people say, well, if you take it this way, you know, how you feel about that? Because I have people tell me that all the time. It has different meanings.
Yeah. You know, when people say that, you know, I told them, I said, well, okay, let's read it together. You know, I was like, well,
Amen.
Maybe, you know, you can show me, you know, the way you're saying, the angle you're saying. Now, if it has
right.
different meanings, I mean, the words are still the same. And he said, well, you know
mm-hmm.
what? That's, you know what? You're right. That's not what I meant. I meant, you know, I'm looking at it differently now that I've seen it two or three times. I said, so, well, so now you're trying to tell me that, you know, what you said before. And I said, now, how many people you stated that to? And I said, now, when and I asked him, I said, now, if you hoping to be a Christian or you want to be a Christian or you are a Christian, how do you spread
mm-hmm.
the gospel the way you present it that way? And
right.
when he looked at me, he looked at me and said, well, you know what? I didn't mean to do it that way. I said, well, guess what? You know, and I said, you know, the devil works in a lot of ways. And I said, you know,
right.
and we all, you know, we all are sinners before we become saints. So, you know,
Amen.
You know, we don't know, you know, sometimes we don't even know we participate in sin until, you know, after the fact. You know, I let them know. I
mm-hmm.
said, you know, just pray for forgiveness. Say, you know, Father Jesus, oh, please forgive me. I didn't know, you know, what I was doing. You know, I thought I was speaking truth. You know, that's all you have to do.
Right.
And a lot of people don't understand. It's like, it's that simple. You know, when
Amen.
You know, God understands. He understands. And sometimes, you know, he put us in certain predicaments. Because guess what?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we may have to go in front of those same people that we presented false facts to. And you can say, hey, listen, you know what? Oh, you know what? It just flipped my mind. You know what? Or, you know what? At that phase of my life, you know what? I wasn't really too comprehensive of what I was reading or what I was saying. But you know
right.
what? Guess what? At that point in my life, I didn't have it all right. But you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I am somewhere on the line of getting it correct. And when
Amen.
I was on my way to get something correct, I remember that I did say something that really wasn't in line with where I'm at right now. And I just want to let
right.
you know, hey, you know, friends, or people I just know, or partners, or whatever. Sorry about that, but you know, hey, you know what? How about this? It's a new beginning. You know, we can get to know some more things in Christ together. You know, and that's how you, you know, that's how
fellowship.
You can form a fellowship. There you go.
Amen. Amen. And I just want to remind the listeners tonight that this is the 341st episode of Purpose Kingdom Network, and you're listening to the Roundtable Ministries. And our discussion tonight is, whose report will you believe? And like me and Brother Rob was talking, it's a thin line that's going on now, because like I was just telling you about Adam in the garden, and I was telling you how Satan blinded him to where he lost everything. You know what I mean? He lost the fellowship with God. But see, that was so long ago, but Satan has still been blinding people ever since, trying to convince them that God's word isn't true. Amen? But
Amen.
See, as a result, people have been living subject to poverty, sickness, spiritual death. But we know that Jesus came to give us prosperity, health, eternal life, you know, and give us so we have life more abundantly. But see, Satan is going around telling everybody, because you remember when we was young boys, Rob, they used to try to tell you to be a Christian or be a Baptist, this and that, you're supposed to live a poor life.
Right.
I remember that as a boy. You know, you wasn't supposed to have no nice car. You weren't supposed to have a nice house. You was just supposed to be humble, you know. But
right.
from what I heard, you know, and what I, you know, studied and investigated over the years, all the disciples was rich. You know, majority of them had all kinds. And they gave that up to follow Christ.
Amen.
Amen. So, you know, it's nothing in there about being poor, you know. But I think that was just a misunderstanding that our grandfathers and great-great-grandfathers had a long time ago because of the situations that we were in and our people were in.
Right, right. And it was
you know,
it was just that they didn't understand that, you know, when they were saying poor, you know,
right?
The poor meant, you know, enduring, you know, terms of endurance, you know.
Right.
Whereas though, you know, you could probably have, you know, your perfect family life, but you were dealing with some kind of strife or, you know, or anything, or, you know, or whatever the situation was. The whole thing,
amen,
they were, you know, probably trying to present to everybody was, you know, but it got twisted, like you said, was that no matter what you're doing, you're going to be dealing with, you know, some terms of endurement. There is going to be uncomfortable. All right, I'll put it to you this way.
Right.
If you're not comfortable being uncomfortable, then, you know, you're going to have a hard time because, you know, living this life, it's going to be some uncomfort, you know.
Gotta be.
I'm going to tell you, people don't understand, you know, when they presented with a problem and, you know, and,
mm-hmm.
and the first thing when you start being a Christian and you start believing, the first thing you're going to say, God, make this disappear. No, you say, Lord, give me strength. Oh, by the blood of Jesus, save me, you know, that sort of thing. It's the, you know,
amen,
it's the way
that's
people
right.
think. And it's the way they present, you know, when it comes to them, how they present themselves towards that problem. And if you can't present yourself towards that problem the right way, that same problem will revisit you over and over again, like a Groundhog Day, like the movie Groundhog Day, how the guy, until he got it right, you know, it'll happen
got
to
over
you sometimes. Yeah, it'll happen to you several different ways. You think you got over one thing, and the next thing you know, oh, this hang up comes. Oh, man, I got to go do this over again. But sometimes you don't recognize that it's happening that way. And,
mm-hmm.
and the best way to recognize that is, you know, be comfortable with being uncomfortable. And once you get over that, you're going to understand. And next thing you know, you're going to be basking in the glory, and you're going to be saying, oh, thank you, Father. I can't believe you have granted me this, you know, this peacefulness. You know, this harmony in my life, whereas though
right.
it seems like, you know, everything is going my way.
Amen.
You know what, God, I ain't going to stop. I'm going to keep going.
Mm-hmm. And see, the thing that really baffles you about reports, Rob, is that when we listen to these reports really determines on what we do. These reports determine
mm-hmm.
your lifestyle really based on what you believe. Amen. If you believe God's
amen.
Word, if you are healed, then you will be like a well person. But if
amen.
You believe the doctor's report that says you are sick, then your lifestyle, you will be a sick person. You know, so like I tell everybody, the last report is really going to come from God. You know, but everybody always say they don't want a second opinion. My second opinion is God's opinion. Because my first opinion, I know you don't get the doctors and they'll say, go see this doctor, bro. Go see that doctor because you need a second opinion. No, I need the opinion. See, and the opinion come from him saying that, you know, no matter what they say, I have the last say-so.
Amen.
So, again, whose report are you going to believe? Because the doctor is going to tell you, doctor's going to tell you as far as he can get. Amen?
Amen.
They didn't use all the medicine they can. They didn't use all the chemo. They didn't use all the radiation, everything they didn't use. And, see, that's the thing I love about God. You're not going to know everything to do because, see, that's God's work. Okay, so
that's
you're
right.
going to go as far as I let you go on healing that person. But when it gets to a point to where you don't know what to say, or you can say, well, you know, we've done all we can do. And that's a true statement when it comes from a doctor, bro. Rob, that's a true statement when he said we've done all we can do. You have done all
that's
you can
true.
Do. Now let's put it in the real doctor's hands. The one that never lost
amen.
A patient.
Amen.
And some people, I don't know, they just get so wrapped up in this thing about, well, the doctor told me that I got sickle cell. The doctor told me I got this, I got that. And I know you done heard the story, but, about my wife, and I'm going to put it out there one more time about her with her sickle cell. When I first met my wife, she had sickle cell. Or at least that's what they say. You know, like they say in the courtroom, Rob, allegedly, she had sickle cell. Okay.
All right.
So I told her when I first met her, she know I was a true believer of God healing, and I know that he could heal anything because he knows everything. So we went down, and me and her prayed one day about this sickle cell, And God said, go down to this friend that you know. He's an herbalist. So he says he has this liquid for you, and he has a pill. He told my wife, he said, I want you to drink this liquid every day. He said, I want you to put this pill underneath your tongue. Let it dissolve. So, see, people don't realize, now, see, we're using two entities right there. God told me what to do and where to go. So I wasn't hard-headed enough to say, well, we're going to stop taking medicine, or we're going to stop doing this. No, God said, no, I want you to go over here, and he has something for you that I know, plus me, will cure this sickle cell. So,
amen.
I think she did it for a while, bro. And we went back to her doctor, and the doctor drew some blood. And he said, wait a minute, Miss Lee. He said, I don't see a trace of sickle cell in your blood. They drew it like two or three more times. She had to go to a couple more appointments. And he just couldn't believe it. He said, you were born with sickle cell. And like I told her, I said, look, when God look at something and tell you, say, in the name of Jesus, I call it healed. And it's done. The doctors couldn't believe it. That's why they kept on doing the blood test, Rob, because it was like they didn't believe it. I mean, I wasn't totally shocked because I know what my God can do. But you know what? I take God at His word. You know, and if God say this thing is done, you healed, it ain't nothing else to talk about.
Amen.
Doctor can tell you, you know, well, I don't understand. This is some kind of phenomenon because, you know, they go by blood tests, facts. But see, God will work miracles around you and he'll work them through you. So
amen.
When that thing came out, I was like, you know, I was overwhelmed. I was like, God, you know what? You showing me more and more that why I need to follow you and follow your word. And that's all you're doing. You're just making me a strong and true believer. But, you know, one thing that we're going to have to decide, though, you know, like I said, who word are we going to believe? Because once your circumstances start changing, you know, and nobody around you, man-like, has done it for you, you know that's God.
Amen.
You hear people say, I don't know what happened, but, I heard something. See, if you sharpen your ear and start praying, fasting, putting your plate down, and getting into God's word, you're going to know what that something is that you thought you heard. Okay?
Amen.
It's not a wind blowing, you know, wind blowing out in the outside. Like you see the chimes be ringing in your house and you have them out there hanging. No, you're going to know when God is talking to you if you're turning down your plate, if you're praying and fasting as a family. And that's one thing that's real important, Perfect Kingdom Network and listeners. You know, you can pray alone, but if you're a family, God say where two or more are gathered, you pray as a family. And
amen.
Say, what you bind down here on earth, I'm going to bind it down here on earth with you. And what you loose, I'm going to loose it. But see,
and,
you know, I know that, you know, it's just so many things. Like we were talking about earlier, even on our job, we get so wrapped up now with making money and paying bills. That we starting to look at our bosses and our CEOs on these jobs as little small G's, but they don't control your life.
That's right.
Your life at all, you know. And I know you had the same problem on your job where people come at you like, you know, especially if they see the spirit in you. And I was telling my wife, you know, for the past couple of years we've been going through, especially on my job, to where people see the spirit in you, and it just seems like it's an all-out fight.
Oh, yeah.
All-out fight. And it's sad because you go to work, like you say, Rob, every day on time, leave on time, do your job excellent. They can't ask no more of you. And then every once in a while, you go above and beyond. But it always seems like trouble come your way.
That's right.
Might not be big, you know, little write-ups or something somebody said that you did, you know you didn't do. But I was listening to the radio today, and they had, you know, Pastor Marvin Sapp on there, Rob.
All right.
And when he came out, he said something so profound that you know, you hear it all the time, but people need to be reminded of it every now and then, that when the devil is throwing everything that he can at you, I mean, everything he can. You know you so close to your... You can touch it. That's why I try to encourage people every day and let them know if you're going through, you're going through for a reason. You got people out there, you done heard them, Rob, and you had to tell me about it. People that tell you that, they ain't going through nothing. I don't even want to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even hear that, because see, God's people, you know, when Jesus was down there, he went through stuff on a regular basis. So who are we to say we're not going through nothing at all? That makes me kind of leery.
That's right.
When something happens to me, you know what I mean?
That's right.
You know, it got to be something, and it doesn't have to be something drastic. You know,
I have
times during the day I'm trying to find my keys. The car won't start the first time I crank it over. You know, it's just something that has to be aggravating. You know, and I can't say I haven't had good days, because sometimes you overlook the small stuff and your day's still good.
Amen. And you know,
like I said,
when you say that, that's so important. You know, I appreciate the small stuff, because you know, being old and advanced in life, I know this. When you ignore the small stuff and you say, "Hey, well, I can deal with that anytime." Well, you know what? That anytime, that small stuff is going to be several small things. It's going to turn out to be one huge problem. So one thing I start out with, I get my praises out as soon as I wake up, as soon as I open my eyes. Oh, thank God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Amen.
This means you know what I mean? This means that this is another day you gave me here on this planet, you know, to do something for you in some way. I don't know how, but I know it's by the end of the day, I'm going to be done. Thank you, Jesus. You know, and when, like I said, when you leave those small things there on the table, you know, right there on the table. When I say right there on the table, I mean something that you can deal with right then and there. But you say, you know what, this is so simple, I can handle this. You know, it's like the tail of the rabbit in the hare. You know, he's racing the turtle. Oh, you know what, I can do whatever I want and still beat this guy. But you know what, at the end of the day, he wound up losing. You know why? Because he overestimated, you know, his abilities and what he think he can do. Well, let me tell you something. There's a reason why Jesus placed you, you know, in certain, you know, positions and certain predicaments. You know, that rabbit could have been doing so many things after he beat that turtle, you know, and just imagine the things he could have done. If he can beat that turtle that fast, okay, guess what? You know, God may want, you know, this saying, this supposed race happened, you know, God may want this rabbit to do something by beating him at the, you know, whatever record time, and the turtle's still moving along.
And
the same thing goes for you. If you think that you can do something so easy, maybe that's a task that, you know, God is giving you, and say, hey, you know what? I want to see where your resolve is at. You know, you always asking me for things. Let me ask you to do something. Take care of this small thing. You know, you always asking me, you know, for big things. You know, solve your big problems. Help you with your big problems. Let me start out with this. Let me start out small with you. Okay, let me see how you handle this. Now, if you think about it that way, every little small task that come your way, don't you want to get it done? Because guess what? After a certain point, God's going to say, you know what? How am I going to ever give this guy something big if all these small things are just piling up and he is just going to be overwhelmed and not going to do either one of them?
Amen.
All right, so, you know, start with the small things. The small things, you know, they add up. Okay, now, it's just like, you know, I don't want to say this. Let's just say it's just like several small people want to fight you. Are you going to fight them all at one time, or are you going to fight them one at a time where you can just knock them off and be like, okay, I'm done with them?
Well,
he's
not gonna get jumped. I'm fighting one at a time.
There you go. And that's how it is with problems.
Hey, you gotta take your time with it.
You're getting jumped with them problems, and they're not gonna allow you when once all of them are sitting there right in front of your face. It's not gonna allow you to, you know, once they're there and they're looming, you know, they're not gonna allow you to say, okay, you can choose and pick which one you're gonna deal with, and then you move on to this one and that one. No. Once they're all in your face like that, they may hit you all at one time. And,
Amen.
You know, and at the end of the day, at the end of the day, like you said, whose report you going to believe? Oh, wow, he couldn't deal with this. You know, they might not say all several things he tried at one time. They say, oh, you know what? Oh, he couldn't even sharpen a pencil in 2 minutes, or he couldn't do this, or he couldn't do that.
Temptations.
Who's
always throwing temptations at me. Always.
There you go.
And that's the thing. You know, that same thing what we was just saying. Remember I was telling you about, we was talking about, you know, believing in God's word and how the devil, because even in Luke 4, the devil was tempting Jesus in the wilderness, remember?
And amen.
The thing I like about Jesus didn't argue with him. He didn't argue with him. He took the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God and Jesus, and he gave the word to the devil, and the devil didn't know how to handle it. And then after all that, he sat up there and he looked, and he couldn't dispute any of the words that Jesus was saying. And you'll find here in Luke 4:13 where it says, and then the devil had ended all the temptations, he departed from him for a season. See, that tells you that the word of God will make the devil flee. And see, you got to throw that word out there because, see, the devil knows the word just as well as we do. Amen. And
amen.
We got scholars out here today that, you know, they can sit up and they can recite. You call a chapter in the Bible and a verse and they'll throw it out at you. But it's just like the scholars back in the day of Jesus Christ. Are you living what you're preaching?
Come on.
You know, because we can sit up and your memory can be good, but your heart can be deceitful.
Amen.
A lot of people sit up there and they can throw the word out, but are you living this word? Okay? And just like me and my wife, we'll say all the time, and Pastor Tori tell you too, when she gives the call to salvation, she said, get in the Bible preaching, teaching church. You got to get somewhere where somebody knows that word and they're giving that word to you. And see, I figure, you know, and this is just me, because, you know, we all have opinions, right, Brother Rob?
That's right.
We all got our own opinions. Now, as big as this book is, if I was meant to know everything in this book, I would learn it in school. I wouldn't need the book. They would say, well, just what you want the book for? It's called reference. A lot of people
Amen.
Understand reference. As long as I know where I can go get it from, and if I can't recite it to you, I'm still going to know it just as well as you do, and I'm going to live what I preach. Because I do that to my girls all the time. I'm not going to tell you something that I'm not going to do. Amen. I'm not going to put no words on you that I figure, you know, the old saying, like the old people used to say, Brother Rob, do what I say and not what I do. Not in my household.
Amen.
Go both ways. I want you to do what I say, and then I want you to watch me and do what I do. Amen.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm going to put the word
Amen.
Out to you. And I'm not going to change it. I'm going to put it out to you. But see, I'm going to show you that if I can say it, I can do it. And if I can do it, you can do it.
That's right.
Yeah, that's just like I was telling you, this was months ago, about how I used to get in an argument with my son-in-law's mother about a woman raising a man. It can't be
right.
done. It can't be done. You need a man to raise a man. Amen? Because...
Right.
I need to let you know when I come home and my back feel like somebody kicked me in it, and people telling me, you can't make it, you can't do this, and there you go again. Who report you going to believe? Oh, amen? And God's telling me, you know, as a man, you're supposed to provide for your family. Okay? If I'm going to give
right.
you the strength to get up, they say you ain't going to be hurting. And I ain't going to say you ain't going to go through. But if I give you the strength to get up and go do this thing, that's what a man do. Now, and you got a lot of mothers out there, and if they're listening, they'll tell you, oh, your leg is hurting, honey, boo, this is hurting that. Well, don't worry about it. Finish it tomorrow. No, that's, I tell women, be careful how you're raising that boy, because you're raising a man, you're raising somebody's husband. You're not just raising a man. One day he's going to be somebody's husband, and you don't want him to be a sorry man. You want to be a man of his word, and you want to be him a man that listens to God's word. Listen to God's report. Amen?
Amen.
Because all that babying, we have so many of them out here now that first time somebody says something out of the way to them, they out here toting guns and doing what they need to do, shooting people, getting in jail, talking about he disrespected me. You don't know what respect is because you don't even respect your parents. How you talking
right.
about respect? People are going up, and I send them every day, Rob. They're going upstate for life because they shot somebody because he disrespected me and killed them. So see, this thing that we're doing right here at, you know, Roundtable Ministries, this is for you young men too that are listening. And like, I'm gonna remind you again, this is the 341st episode of Purpose Kingdom Network, and you're listening to Roundtable Ministries with Elder Lee and Robert Pop Pop Hudson. And our title for tonight is, "Whose Report Will You Believe?" Amen. And we're trying to
let
you know that you got to stand up as men. You have to, because see, if you don't stand up as a man and go with the values that God give you in His book, because see, if you stand on God's word, you're gonna be just like a tree by the river. You're gonna bend, but you ain't gonna break. Amen. I'm not saying you're not gonna go through. I'm not saying you're not gonna get your heart broke, men. I'm not saying that nobody's gonna try to use you. But as you get older and go through your experiences, use them. Don't forget them, because like Brother Rob say, if you don't, you're gonna go through it again and again and again. So you have to, everything that you go through, all your experiences, you have to use them when something else comes up like that, and you say, no, I can't go that way because when I did this, that happened. Or as I tried to do this, this person did that and did that. So now this time, even like I have a thing, Brother Rob, about lending friends money.
That's right.
People look at me like I'm crazy, and I know you done went through it. If I want to keep your friendship, I can't lend you a lot of money, because if you don't pay it back to me, we have a problem.
That's right.
If I'm a man of my word and I lend it to you, you should be a man of your word and give it back to me. I've seen people, not me, but friends that lend out thousands of dollars to people, and they'll give it to them in one day, and they take almost 2 years to get it back. So see, to be a man of your word and to make sure that these people aren't putting out false reports about you, saying, you know, this person said this and he lies about that. False reports, some people don't even pay attention to them, but if they get back to the right people, they can really destroy your whole career and life as you know it, as far as down here on the earth.
That's right. Because
people believe a lot of stuff that they should know better. Amen? They believe a lot of stuff. Instead, that's just like, if I heard something about you, Brother Rob, you know how we do. I will call you and say, Rob, are you all right?
That's right.
You know, you might tell me, well, I'm going through this, I'm going through that. But I'm getting it from the horse's mouth. Amen?
Right.
I'm not getting a second hand where somebody told me, well, you know, if this happened and that happened, and, you know. So when I get to you, the story is totally different. Totally different. That's why a lot of times I don't, you know, my wife say people think I'm mean because of the look I have on my face. No, I'm not mean. I'm not going to put it with a whole lot of BS.
That's right.
And not a gossiper, you know, so I'm not putting out a lot of false reports. I'm not saying this about that. But the thing is when we start talking about the word of God, and I had people on my job that we had to stop because they come with some outrageous stuff, Rob, and I'll be like, I show them in the book where it's like total derogatory about what they're saying, but they still come in with this, I don't know. I said, well, if you don't know, I'm telling you I know and I'm showing you, but you're trying to tell me where it says in the Bible, you heard the prayer of Brother Rob, now lay me down to sleep.
Yeah.
Said, that's all in there. It's in here. It's in there. And they come up with something about, what's one of the phrases they come up with, Rob, that I know that is not in the Bible, but people come at you all the time because it's been said for years. It's been said for years, but they listen to these cliches, and that's what I call them. They like little small cliches.
I know the one that's misquoted. Well, when they say it is misquoted, eye for eye, tooth for a tooth.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, but I tell them, I say, show me. But I heard somebody told me, I said, no, I don't care what you heard. Show me.
Right.
You see, I don't live in Iowa, but if I did, I'd be from the show me state. Show me. Because I can't,
that's,
you know.
I understand what you're saying, Elder Lee, as far as, you know, I'm from the show me state, show me, you know. And right around this, you know, this hour, it's around the time for the call of salvation. And it's going to bring on our very own Pastor Toy Daly And we'll just bring her on real quick.
Praise the Lord. Enjoying this conversation this evening. I'm blessing God for it. My baby just see this nothing but the devil, because the enemy knows I was coming on to bless God, and he made my grandbaby close his hand in the door just as I was coming on. And, you know, I'm just blessing God, because even as he did it, he knew I was on the air, and he started holding his hand and quietly jumping. But we blessing God, because even in that, he wasn't hurt. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
It caught him, but he's not hurt on it. And that's what I love. See, we don't understand when it comes down to whose report we're going to believe. Satan is going to do little things. When we say whose report are you going to believe, we're not saying that means you don't go through stuff. We're saying even in your going through stuff, whose report are you going to believe? God said that he would never leave us nor forsake us. And it's during those times when we can't hear his voice, or we don't feel like we're as close to him as we should be, that we need to call back and fall back on the report of the Lord. That's what the Israelite children did that was so wrong. That's why they spent 40 years wandering in the desert instead of taking a three-month trip. They took a 40-year trip because they stopped believing God's report no matter how many times he showed up and gave them a report. He opened the Red Sea. They believed in him for a few minutes, and a few days later they were screaming, complaining, and howling. Oh, God, let us out here to die. If he just brought you through a Red Sea, made it part, let you cross on dry land, and then drowned your pursuers, your enemy, the people who were coming to destroy you, what makes you think he's going to forsake you now?
Come on.
Then he brought manna to them, and they wasn't content with eating of the bread of life, so then they had to bring meat to them. But everything he did, he had a rock follow these people in the middle of the desert for 40 years. A rock followed them. They didn't have to go dig a well. They would just go tap the rock.
Amen.
And the rock continuously brought forth water. Their clothes would remend itself. You know, a child grows, they grow out of clothes. But them 40 years in that desert, their clothes grew with the children. People sitting there going, oh, no, she's talking about a fairy tale. No, I'm not talking about a fairy tale. I'm talking about the Alpha and Omega. The beginning and the end. The one who is so powerful that he could create all of this out of nothing, but we don't believe he can make clothes grow. The one who has brought us through so many different situations, but we still sit and think that he just going to leave us to go through something crazy, and he stood by us all this time. So we have to remember, I'm blessing God. There are so many different things where I had to trust God's word and not the word of man, not the word of the doctors who said that when they did the surgery on my throat that I would lose my voice and never be able to talk again. Yet here I am bringing forth God's word. My mother, who's 6, it'll be 7 years this year, they told me to call the family together because it wasn't nothing else they could do. But now it's 7 years later and she's still here with us. My grandson, who came out of the womb dead, and they said, oh, we can't resuscitate him, but when we called on the name of Jesus, he's here 9 years later. So there's so much that I can go through. Even my grandbaby that closed his hand in the door today, and y'all know him, he's the one that always comes on and asks if he can have prayer. They told us he wasn't going to graduate out of kindergarten, not because they felt like he couldn't do the work. He just wouldn't do the work. He just, you know, you got some children like that sometimes. And they gave him a test because they kept saying, well, you know, he's not showing us that he knows the work. And they gave him the assessment test, and he was the only one out the entire class, not just to complete the test, but to pass it. So when we went to get him from his last day of school, they said, oh, yeah, we've made a mistake. He's graduating tomorrow. My grandson that's autistic, that struggled through school, took us through so much in math that, you know, a math homework used to have me in prayer and fasting, his mama fasting, everybody just fasting, to get his reward the other day and find out he got the reward for the most improved student in math throughout the entire school. So we just blessing God for what it is that he's doing in their lives and for what he can do in everybody else's life. But the key to it is that you have to have a relationship with the Father. You can't do it on your own. It's not going to be of your own fruition. I know we like to think that it is, but okay. And I'm going to get to the call. I'm sorry, but y'all did this. Y'all started this. For everybody that thinks it's of their own fruition, for everybody that thinks, oh, the reason I'm as successful as I am is because I have a good job and my job pays me well, and with my job I can do this, that, and the other. Let your job close down or do some layoffs. Then tell me about how well you're doing on your own fruition.
Come on.
It is nothing but the grace of God that has you there. It's nothing but the grace of God that is allowing you to get your check. You sit there, and we all at some time have passed some type of judgment on somebody homeless because there's people pretending to be homeless who isn't. But the truth of the matter is you ain't but a paycheck away from it yourself.
Come on, I hear you.
But it's about trusting in God. It's about believing the report that God gives to you. It's about believing what God has spoken over you. And the first report that he gave to us, the very initial report that he gave to us, was that God so loved the world.
Come on.
That he gave his only begotten son. That was the ultimate report. And then he didn't just say that I loved him so much that I gave my only begotten son. Then he took it a step deeper. He said, and whosoever believes on him that I gave will not perish but have everlasting life.
That's right.
That's what I'm talking about.
Whatever you are is not preaching and teaching on Christ's life, death, and resurrection, they teaching you falsehood. Whose report will you believe? So many that Satan has gotten into so many different people's heads that we're looking all over the place on how we can get into a relationship when God has made the relationship plain for us, when God has set it right there for us to see, and all we got to do is reach and grab it and accept it. That's it. I know for men and women alike in these days, it used to be just the men would experience this, where they would get a gift for somebody they loved or liked, and the girl really didn't like them, and the girl would look at the gift, look at them, laugh at them, and toss the gift back at them, or take the gift, laugh at them, and never deal with them, or, you know, just something like that's how we do God. God gave us an awesome gift. He gave us the ultimate gift. And although we say his son, let me break this thing down. We say his son, Jesus, because he placed himself in the womb of a woman. And when he was birthed forth, we refer to him as the son of God because God impregnated Mary with himself. That's a deep thing right there. When he impregnated her with himself so that she could bring forth God. Y'all missing that thing. And in that, he gave us that gift, but then we sit back and just look at it and toss it aside because we don't care about him that much. We don't love him that much, or we think we can get to him a different way. He done gave us the GPS directions, but we know a shortcut that's going to take us a little quicker, so we think, not realizing that the road done been cut off, or there's a detour, or an accident, or they might have just destroyed the road altogether. But in the midst of it, he gave us that gift, and all we have to do is accept it. We have to believe that God is who he says he is, that he is the God that created all that is, all that was, all that will be, that he is the sustainer of all that is and all that will be and all that was, and that he loved us so much that he laid his life down on the cross for the remission of our sins to pay the penalty of death. And, I mean, I'm sorry, of sin, which is death, that he paid that penalty for us, and all we have to do to receive that gift is to accept that which he gave us. And what he gave us was eternal life.
Amen.
It don't matter what nobody thinks about you. It don't matter about how somebody feels about you. It don't matter how many friends you have lost or how many friends you may gain if you don't know Christ and the pardon of your sins. Let folks talk about you. Last time I checked, the only name on the deed to heaven or hell was God and Jesus alone. That's it. We heirs. Just because we heirs don't mean we got it yet. My grandmother's 97 years old. She said to me, Troy, these are the things that I'm leaving you when I go. I'm an heir to them things. But guess what? They ain't mine yet. They still belong to her. because she's still living. What I'm trying to tell you is you are heir to some things, but they ain't yours yet because you're still living and because God is still on the throne. And even with him still being on the throne, he loves us so much that if we will just accept the gift that he gave, we don't have to wait for a passing to receive it, to obtain it, and to possess it. We can possess it right now.
Right.
We just have to accept it. And we accept it by saying a simple prayer. We say, Father God, I believe in your word. I believe that you died for my sin. So I accept the gift of your son Jesus into my life. I ask him to forgive me my sin. I ask him to reign in my heart as the king of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you said that prayer, the last thing you have to do is confess it. You tell somebody that you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You don't have to wait until Sunday morning Bible study. You don't have to wait till Sabbath morning. You can call somebody on the phone and say, hey, I just gave my life to Christ. You can call somebody up or send them a text message and say, hey, I just accepted Christ as my personal Savior. Send out an email. If you have nobody you can reach out to, you can always let us know here at Purpose Kingdom Network. Our email address is purposekingdomnet@gmail.com. We would love to pray with you and to pray for you. And if you don't feel like doing that, just go out, stand on your porch or in front of your house, in front of your apartment building. Jump out your car, hang your head out the window for a second, pull over to safety, then hang your head out the window and scream at the top of your voice, I just accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And according to God's word, once you do that, you are saved.
Amen.
Hallelujah, God. And we say welcome to the kingdom. Now, we always encourage you to attempt to find a Bible-believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary where you can grow in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and heal from the trials and the tribulations of this world. But if for some reason you can't, bless God, that is why Purpose Kingdom Network is here for you. Please join us tomorrow evening for another episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. And you know, I always get confused with the Saturdays because these two gentlemen on the line, it's either going to be Elder Charles and his wife, Reverend Charles, with The Turning Point, or it's going to be Brother Robert Pop Hudson with Self-Expression. But either way,
ding,
you do not want to miss the word. I'm sorry, say that again.
I said ding.
Ding, okay, there you go. So it's Brother Robert Pop Hudson with Self-Expression. And you do not want to miss the word. God has someone bringing some type of word every evening that we are able to broadcast. And when we can, for whatever tricks of the enemy, we attempt to try to upload a rebroadcast. But the word is going forth, and we bless God for that. So you can follow us on Facebook at Purpose Kingdom. We are on Instagram and Twitter at Purpose_Kingdom. Know that we love you with the love of Christ. We are praying for you. We are praying with you. Elder, brother, awesome, awesome words this evening. Whose report will y'all believe? And that's how I'm going to end it with the question to all of our listeners. Whose report will you believe? The ministry is back in your hands.
Thanks so much,
Amen.
Pastor Toy. And say that again.
That's an awesome word, wasn't it, Rob?
Yes, it was. We do have a call on line. If you want, we
bring
that
caller
on. All right, let's go. All right, caller. Can you hear
us? Good evening, brother. Oh, good evening.
Hey, good evening to you.
Robert Pop
Tonya. Okay.
And also, Reverend, I would like to say that there is a very interesting program. You know, one thing that some guys seem to misunderstand with a woman raising a male child, whatever kindness you show to your child, you also pass on to your grandchildren. So
Amen.
I hope that some guys don't misunderstand kindness from a mother to a male child and mistaken it for being overly attentive, overly pampering, overly nurturing. There are mothers who do that, but I don't think they'll appreciate some people intervening with that, but they will realize their mistake if they overly do it. So, you know, still encourage, you know, your male just as well as your female child, of course, how to be respectful how to be kind by exuding a little kindness, a little respectfulness, and do your best job at measuring the difference between that, I think, because
Amen.
After all, what you reap, you will sow. As a
Hold on.
All right. And I've heard
Amen.
It
you're right.
often.
You're right.
And, you know, if you want your son to treat his good wife and
right.
his children kindly, you still have to set an example and share some of that goodness in order to make sure there will be a harmonious, you know, opportunity for them to set an example for even their kids and so on. So this is Antonia Vett saying peripheral vision. I'll see you Sunday evening at 9 p.m. And hopefully can share a little more insight on things that matter, just like you all do. Thank you very much.
Amen.
And God bless
you. Did you call it, Antonia?
God bless you, Chappy.
All right.
Have a good evening.
All right.
We have any more callers, bro?
That was the last caller we have tonight so far.
Hallelujah, you guys. Y'all did an excellent job, as usual.
Thanks so much.
And like my
Reverend.
Husband and Rob, who report, would you believe? Because that saying is true. Just keep up the good work. I love y'all with all my heart, and I'm so proud of both of y'all.
Thanks so much.
Brother Rob, you got anything you want to say before we turn this out? Because the last thing I want to say is I'm still leaning on that Matthew 12:37, bro, where it say, for
Amen.
By the word I shall be justified, and by the word thou shalt be condemned. So you got to make up your mind. You want to be condemned or justified in the eyes of your God.
And, you know, before I sign off, Elderly, I'll let you go ahead and sign off. But, you know, I just want everybody to have a blessed and, just a blessed and a joyful, elevation in the Lord, each and every day. You know, when you wake up, before you go to sleep, before you do a task, before you, greet your family, before, you depart from your family, just make sure that, you celebrate, in the Lord, in each and every circumstances, because everything is not guaranteed and everything is not granted to us. We have to understand that, we're, just as well as we ask, we have to earn, what he's given us. So it's not just, it's going one way. We ask, take. We give and accept, So we just want you, everybody to understand, it's not a one-way thing, too, for the salvation. And that's all I have to say, Elder Lee.
Amen. And like me and my wife always say, Brother Rob, and we try to live by this, because when I heard it, I told my wife I just want this to get into my spirit and the spirit of the people that we tell. And it's saying that God says, I can't change the way you live until I change the way you think.
Mm.
I can't change life until you get into my word. When you get into my word, your life will change, but I can't do anything for you until I can get into your mind and change the way that you look at things. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So like Brother Rob was just saying, this is the 341st episode of Purpose Kingdom. My name is Elder Charles Lee.
And this is Brother Robert Pop-Pop Hudson.
And we're signing off from the Roundtable Ministries. And our discussion tonight was, whose report will you believe?
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.